There is a word from the Lord on today. As I, a couple of weeks ago when I prayed, when I preached, our text came from 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 6. And this morning we're going to continue with our series as we continue in 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 16. And I want to read it in your hearing. I'm reading from the New International Version, but just, I don't know if it will be on the screen, but just follow as I read this text. And I will be going back over the verses as I go through the sermon. It says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. She called to him. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elisha said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elisha and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elisha. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the power of God and how God steps in and deals with issues that were depressive and corruptive towards his people. We talked about Ahab and Jezebel leading the people of God astray, causing them to worship false gods. We talked about how Ahab and Jezebel had all God's priests killed and erect statues of idol gods. Just when it appears as if God wasn't going to address the situation, Elisha steps on the scene and tells Ahab, there will be neither dew nor rain in the land for the next few years, except he prayed for it. We talked about how the Lord told Elijah to leave Judah and hide in Cherith Ravine by the brook, where he had instructed ravens to feed him morning and evening. There Elijah remained by the brook for a little over 2 years. Every day the ravens came and fed him, and he drank from the brook. The word doesn't say it, but I believe when the brook dried up, Elisha knew that he was getting a new assignment. When the brook in our lives have dried up, it's time to move on and expect to hear from God. This place was a place of security and a place where God demonstrated his power over creation and had something to and did something that had never done before. He had ravens to feed his servant, Elisha, morning and evening. God has the power to put us in a place of safety and security and cause the most unlikely source to sustain us. He can decide what we do and how we do it and who will bless us. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter what the situation appears. God is able to cause us to be blessed in whatever way he chooses to bless us. Elijah was a man of God, and he had demonstrated his trust in God when he obeyed God and spoke his word. Elijah followed God's instructions and left Judah for a place of safety before Ahab and Jezebel could find him. Elisha waited at Cherith Ravine by the brook until he heard from God. Before we run off, when our brook has dried up, we need to wait to hear from God. We might say to ourselves, there is nothing else here for me. The brook has dried up, and the ravens are no longer coming to feed me. But before you take one step, I say to you today, wait to hear from God. Now, the brook had dried up. God speaks to Elijah and tells him where to go next. If you can recall our message a couple of weeks ago, we remembered that Elisha was a Tishbite, a prophet, and the word did not say that he had any other job other than being God's mouthpiece. We know some of the other prophets were working in other fields and jobs when God called them out to be prophets. We know that Jeremiah was in training to be a priest. Isaiah was an officer in King Uzziah's court. And Ezekiel was a priest called out to be a prophet. But Elisha was born to be a prophet, expecting to hear a word from God. He didn't know when it was coming. He didn't know how it was coming. He didn't know when it was coming. And he didn't know what was coming. But he knew God was coming with a word for him. Here we have this afternoon, we are going to talk about the provisions of God. We've already talked about the power of God. And we're going to take it to the next step with the provisions of God. The word says that the brook dried up. The word of God came to Elisha that says, go to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. This was a place in a land of pagans. They worship idol gods there. This was the place where Jezebel came from. This was her home. God was sending Elisha into the enemy's land. A place where people there, when they worked, what they did was they were metalsmiths. They were founders. They were craftsmen who removed dross from metals and purified it. When we look up Zarephath, when I looked it up, what I looked up and what I found, the name means that it's a place where God might send a servant that he might be purified. But more than that, it's a place where God might send a prophet that he might help those that are in need of purification to be purified. You see, God doesn't make a mistake. It's a place of refinement for his purposes. That those who are called to help require and help somebody else to make their way through. To help someone to make it to the next level of faith in God. The word tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have prayed, and we have prayed, and we have sought God's face for the things that we need, for the breakthroughs, and sometimes for the breakouts. Our faith is operating, and God knows that we have faith to believe him. But we don't always have faith to obey him. To get to the next level in God and receive the provisions of God. He has us and he requires us to do some things to get to that next level. Have you ever had a moment in your life when you knew you heard God tell you to do something that just didn't make any kind of sense? You say, Lord, what am I doing? What am I supposed to do this for? But you just got to learn how to obey God. Because see, when you obey God, he's taking you to the next level of your faith. One day, when you least expect it, God is going to call you out of your comfort zone and say to you, go there, do this, help this person, even though you can hardly make ends meet for yourself. Now, Zarephath, yes, it is, Miss Williams, it is true. Zarephath, this place God was sending his servant, Elisha, was also in the middle of a drought. There was no resources there. This place was desolate, almost dead. But God was sending his servant there. Now, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But God was sending his servant there. Have you ever found yourself in a desolate place, in a dry land, your Zarephath? No resources, no family support, no friends really calling you up to check on you. This place doesn't have to be a physical place. It could be an emotional state. It could be a financial situation. It could be a diagnosis that you didn't even see coming. While you're in this place and you can't help but wonder, where is God in the midst of this desolate land? Why has God sent me to this place called Zarephath? The second part of that verse, in that ninth verse, it says, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. God can send us, some of us, to some most unlikely places to accomplish a work and receive his provisions. Some unlikely place to find the resources we need to sustain us when our supply has dried up. You see, God can send us to a place where we can find strength to help us to get to the next level. You see, everybody is going to have a Zarephath in their life from time to time. Everything is not going to always be plentiful. Sometimes you're going to have to step it up and believe God for what he says and know that he's able to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. We want it to be Sunday every day, but it's not going to be like that every day. This is not an easy word to hear, but it's a true word from God. Elijah, God's own servant, whom I'm sure God loved because of his obedience, because Elijah knew how to follow instructions, and because Elijah knew how to wait. Something some of us, including myself, need to learn how to do. Sometimes we get so caught up in our life and listening to what people say in one ear rather than hearing God in the other ear. You got to do what God say do. You got to go where God say go. It might not be where you want to go, but it's where your resources are. Many of us can say we're like Elijah and we do what he does, obey God without explanation. But it's in that Christian journey of faith to get to the next level of faith in God that we have to trust God, although we can't trace him. I don't see him moving. God, I don't see you moving, God. I don't see you moving, God. But I know you're there. We have to take God at his word and not worry about what will happen to us or how we're going to make it. We got to believe God that there is provision in the place that he's sending us. That 10th verse says, so he went to Zarephath. You see, you got to go when God tell you to go. When he came into the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called out to her and asked her to bring him some water in a jar that I may drink. The widow woman responded without question. And the word says, as she was going to get the water, he called out to her in that 11th verse and he says, and bring me a piece of bread. This is when the rubber hits the road. This is when faith becomes action. You see, this is when trust in God overrides the truth that we know. You can't see it, but God knows all about it. You can't see God moving, but like the preacher said on the screen, it's already done in the spiritual realm. We yet got to catch up with what God is doing. When you hear God, you got to move. She didn't question Elisha. She didn't say, Mister, I don't know you. Why should I go get you some water? She didn't say that. She just turned to get the man of God some water. This widow woman, as he mentioned the bread, that's when she stopped in her tracks. And she said in that 12th verse, as surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. You see, I'm gathering a few sticks right now to take home to make some meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, this is when it really gets interesting. First, the widow woman doesn't know him, yet she turns to get the water. Secondly, the widow woman is in distress herself, but she puts her distress aside to serve someone else, someone she doesn't even know. It wasn't enough. If that wasn't enough, she says to him, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," I interpreted this to mean she recognizes that he is the man of God. She recognizes that Elijah's God know all about the drought situation. She recognizes that Elijah's God would understand her personal situation. Now Elijah takes it to the next level. How many of you want God to take your situation to the next level? You see, Elisha says to her in that 13th and 14th verse, he says, "Don't be afraid." I want you to hear me. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. Is there anyone in here today who wants that don't be afraid moment in your life? You want God to speak into your life right now and say, "Don't be afraid. Just do what I tell you to do. There's a method to what I'm telling you to do. It don't make no sense. You've already told me that you have only a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil left. But I'm telling you, if you listen to God, if you do what God has called you to do, he'll take a little and make a lot out of it." As she said what she had to say to Elisha, God's not finished yet, y'all. He's still talking. He said, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord gives rain on the land." It doesn't matter how little you got. It doesn't matter if you don't even know where you're going. If God has said it, you gotta do it. When the don't be afraid moment comes, the provisions of God follow. I want you to hear that. When the don't be afraid moment comes, the provision follows. Now let's process this situation just for a moment. The woman obviously recognized the man of God and had probably heard that it was the same man of God that called for the drought in the first place. Now here she and her son, starving to death. And he says to her, "Make me a small cake of bread first, and then make one for you and your son." Don't we want to reach that level of faith in God? That place where we can help someone else with the little bit that we got and trust God to bless us. Have a level of faith in God where we reach that place where we can celebrate with someone else even though we're at our lowest. So often when we see other people getting up and God moving in their life, we get the case of the jealousies. We talked about that in our Sunday school class. Sometimes when God is blessing somebody else, instead of standing up and celebrating with them, we get a case of the green eyes. We can't be happy for somebody else. But I want to tell you today that if you bless somebody else with a little bit, God will bless you with more than you would be able to receive. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon you that you won't have room enough to receive. It's all about faith. It's all about trust. It's all about obedience. You would think she would say to herself, "He is the reason why there's a drought in the land in the first place. Now he wants me to take the last of what I have for him." That's the kind of attitude some of us get. When we are down to our last and we have prayed and asked God to help us, God will call us out to do something that makes no sense to us. God will call us out to take our faith to a higher level, a level higher than we could even dream of. God may call us to serve the very one who caused the situation in the first place. When our resources have dried up and the drought is in our life. But just like the widow in Luke 21 and 2, who came to the temple and put all that she had, two small copper coins, into the collection box, not expecting anything in return, because she believed that God would bless her, because she believed that she stepped out on faith that God, that's what God would have her to do, because she thought, had no thought of her tomorrow, because she knew who held her tomorrow. You see, the widow never argued with Elisha. All she did was state her case. She didn't get an attitude. She just remembered what the man of God said in that 14th verse. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She heard what the Lord said and stepped out on faith. She heard what the Lord said about what she should do and about her son, and she obeyed. She recognized who was in charge. She had no doubt that if God could stop the rain from falling, I wanted you to hear that. If God could stop the rain from falling, stop the dew from appearing, don't you think God could supply all of your needs? Don't you think God is big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to do that? The question for us today is, are you willing to obey God even when it doesn't make sense? Are you willing to trust God for what you cannot see? That ain't easy. Are you willing to believe that our last is not God's last? You see, what looks like your last is nothing compared to what God's got. You see, God on the cattle on 1,000 hills. You might think, because you see this little bit, that that's all God got for you. But God is saying, open up your mind. Open up your spirit and see that I got so much more for you if you just trust me and believe. If you just push your way through the situation and stop looking at what it looks like and trust me for what it is. Some of us might find ourselves in a place of refinement. You know, that place where the miracles of God takes place. You see, when you put gold or silver or any kind of metal in a refinement, they turn the heat up 7 times. And some of us know what some of that heat can be like. We've been in it for a while. They keep turning up the heat. God just keeps turning up the heat. And we want to give Satan credit for it. But it's not Satan. It's God. He's turning up the heat in your life. He's trying to refine you for what he's got for you. He's trying to help you to get to the next level. He's trying to bring you out of your situation. Some of us are called to step out of our comfort zone to get our breakthrough. You sitting there saying, well, I'm not moving till he tells me to move. I'm not doing it until he promised me I'm going to come through. Well, guess what? God's not going to do it. Let's just give you a wake-up call right here and right now. God's not going to do it. God is saying, get up. I want you to get moving. I want you to take what little bit you got and go on and do what I told you to do. And trust me that what you need is going to meet you right where you are. Some of us may have to let go of what appears to be our last to help somebody else through. The blessing is in the sacrifice, y'all. You might be down to your last and you don't want to give it up. I told y'all last week, I saw Lisa standing there in the vestibule of the TD Bank. And as I looked at Lisa, and I know that this was the first of the month, I had to pay my rent. I had to pay all the other bills that came at the first of the month. But I looked at God and what God had done for me. I remember when I was making it off of $400 of unemployment and how God just kept right on blessing me. When I looked at Lisa, oh, thank you, God. I looked at Lisa and I said, I don't have what I got, I share with you, Lisa. And I know God is going to bless you and keep you. Sometimes you got to take your eyes off of self and look at God and see what God is doing. The Bible says, I didn't say it. Jackson didn't say it. Hayes didn't say it. The Bible said. So she went away and did what Elisha told her. So there was food every day for Elisha and for the woman and her family. Because you see, it's that 16th verse. It says, for the jar of flour did not use up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, keeping with the word that the Lord has spoken to Elisha. This biblical story teaches us that even when it looks like all is gone, we're done, there's nowhere to turn, God will send somebody to see about you. You see, this woman was about to give up. She had made up in her mind that she was going to gather a few sticks, go in the house and make this piece of bread, and she and her son was going to eat this piece of bread and die. But you see, the Lord knew her situation. The Lord knew she had been praying. And the thing that really got me about it was she wasn't even one of God's people. She was a pagan woman. You see, God is no respecter of persons. He loves all of us, whether you love him or not. This story is not about Elisha. Elijah was already in God. He was doing what God had called him to do. This story was about the widow caught in a drought situation. No income, no resources, no support system. Just her son who was depending on her. No expectations of God coming to see about her. No doubt she had tried her pagan gods already, but nothing showed up. Everybody was in a drought, and so was she. But just when she was about to give up, somebody is about to give up. But I want you to know that God's going to step in and bless you beyond measure if you just hold on to your faith, if you believe God and step out and do what God has told you to do. The provisions of God comes when we recognize who God is. The provisions of God come when we serve others even though we need to be served. The provisions of God comes when God will take, when we take God at his word. God has heard our prayers. He knows what we're in need of. You don't have to know where the blessings are coming from. Just know that God will provide. You don't have to see the blessings coming. Just know that it will be right on time. All you have to do is believe God. Have faith in God and believe that God can and will bless us. You see, when we're down to the last, the Lord knows how to stretch what we got and make it multiply. When we have nowhere to go and nowhere to turn and the drought is in the land, God can bless us and keep us right in the middle of the drought situation. Just when you think it's over, God will send somebody to see about you. God, he could have sent Elisha anywhere, but he sent him to an obedient widow woman. She recognized God moving in her life. She was willing to stop what she was doing and serve the man of God. You see, she obeyed God and took him at his word. God's provisions never run out. The blessings never stop flowing when you were in Christ. It might look like that sometimes because he'll let you get right down to the last ounce. But then he'll open up the doors. Then he'll open up the windows. Then he'll open up the floor. I don't even trust God no more for just the windows. I said, open up the roof, God. Let it pour in today, oh God, that I might be a blessing to somebody else somewhere. It's not about me, God, because I got what I need. I want to be a blessing to somebody else, God. You can't be a blessing if you have nothing. You see, God, the provisions of God is no respecter of persons. What he does for others, he will do for you. The provisions of God knows what we need right when he needs it, and he knows how to get it to us. You see, we get on the telephone and call up somebody. We sit there and look and say, Lord, well, I don't see anything else, so I'm just going to stop right here. But the Lord is saying today, don't push me out. Don't count me out. Don't put me out. Don't count me out. I'm still in the midst of your situation. There were so many times, so many things the widow could have said to Elisha, could have done instead of serving Elisha. But she stepped out on faith and believed that this man of God represented the one who could call the drought off in her life. She could have had an attitude. She could have allowed her sadness and her depression to cause her to ignore the man of God. But she stepped out in faith and recognized God. She obeyed God and she believed God. Is there anyone here today? God is calling you to a higher level of faith in him. There's a place he may send you to, a place you may not recognize. But you got to recognize the hand of God moving in your life. He might send you to a place where you're going to have to step out on faith. A place where you can believe God, although it doesn't make any sense. You see, God says in his word found in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declared the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Never give up on God. He shows you, he will show up just when you least expect him. He's standing right there behind the door, and you about to shut the door in his face. But God is standing there, says your blessing is waiting for you if you just step out on faith. Have you ever been in a situation where it looked like it's dangerous over there? So I think I better not go over there. God is saying, don't worry about what it looked like. I want you to step out on faith. I want you to take yourself and walk right on where I told you to go. Yes, the enemy is on every side, but I promised you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death that I would be with you. I would be with you. As I close, I leave this thought with you. As I said earlier, the widow was a pagan, but she recognized the righteous God. How much more would our God do for those who worship him in spirit and in truth? How much more would he do for his sheep who knows his voice and obey? God will walk right into your situation and change your life forever. We serve a God. We serve a God of power and a God of provision. So I say to you on today, don't you worry about what it looked like. And don't you let people tell you what not to do when God is speaking to you. I don't care if you're down to your last dime. If God says you can make it, you can make it. If God tell you to step out, you step out. If God tell you to go, you go. If God tell you to give, you give. Because the blessing is in the sacrifice. Because God is a providing God. The God of provision never leaves us nor forsake us. We thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you, God, for the widow woman who showed us how to obey you. We thank you, God, that even in the midst of a depression, oh God, even when we are depressed, God, and we want to turn, God, and go in and die, Lord, that you are the God who gave up your life that we might have life and have it abundantly. Lord, give us the faith we need to make it to the next level, oh God. Lord, have us to know that there are some blessings beyond anything we could ever imagine right behind the door if we would just be willing to step in. Lord, help us to recognize that when you send a message, oh God, from the man of God, the woman of God, that we ought to adhere to the message and do what God has told us to do. That we ought to obey what God has told us to do. Because you see, the blessing is in the sacrifice. The blessing is in serving somebody else. The blessing is forgetting about myself. The blessing is in the obedience. You see, the blessing is in following the instructions. You see, the blessing is in waiting on God. Oh God, I thank you, God, for what you've done, oh God. I thank you for what you're yet going to do, oh God. There's some people sitting right here, right now, sitting on your blessings, oh God, sitting and wondering, where is God? And God says, I'm right here. Where are you? Let us stand to our feet as we open the doors of the church.